There's a moment many women recognize instantly. That flash when you realize you've been living someone else's version of your life. Maybe it happens at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, or during a quiet drive home, or while staring at your reflection, wondering who that exhausted stranger is. Deep inside, something wild is pacing back and forth like a caged animal, and you can feel it. This isn't just dissatisfaction or burnout. It's your instinctual nature, what psychologist Clarissa Pinkola Estes calls the wild woman, demanding to be heard. Think of the wild woman not as chaos or recklessness, but as the part of you that knows things before your rational mind catches up. She's the voice that whispers, "Something's wrong here," when everyone else says everything's fine. She's the creative surge that wants to make something at midnight. She's the fierce protector who knows exactly when to say no, even if you've been taught to always say yes. This isn't some mystical concept floating in the ether. It's a psychological reality. Every woman carries this instinctual nature, but most of us have been systematically taught to ignore it. We learned to be good instead of powerful, pleasant instead of truthful, accommodating instead of boundaried. We traded our wild knowing for approval, our authentic voice for acceptance, our creative fire for security. The symptoms of this disconnection are everywhere: chronic exhaustion that sleep doesn't fix, feeling like you're watching your life from outside yourself, depression that has no clear cause, a nagging sense that you're capable of so much more but can't access it. These aren't personal failures. They're distress signals from your wild nature, telling you it's been exiled too long. Reconnecting with your wild self requires psychic archaeology, excavating parts buried under conditioning. Remember being a little girl before you learned to shrink yourself? Before your loudness was too much, your questions annoying, your anger unacceptable? Those aspects went underground. The work now is gathering those scattered bones and breathing life back into them. Notice when you silence yourself in meetings, despite having the answer. Recognize your people-pleasing as an outdated survival strategy. Acknowledge the rage you've been taught to call sensitivity. The biggest threat to your wild nature often comes from inside, what Estes calls the natural predator of the psyche. That critical voice sounds like you, but isn't on your side. It appears right when you're about to try something new. Who do you think you are? It whispers when you set a boundary. You're being selfish. It masquerades as realism or humility, but its real job is keeping you small, safe, and silent. This predator thrives on innocence, the belief that if you're just nice enough, accommodating enough, perfect enough, you'll finally be safe and loved. The fairy tale of Bluebeard illustrates this. A charming man forbids his new wife from opening one door. When curiosity drives her to look, she discovers the bodies of his previous wives, women who also trusted, who also ignored their instincts. Defeating this predator requires seeing it clearly, distinguishing between your authentic inner voice, fierce but never cruel, and the predator's voice, specializing in shame, doubt, and paralysis. Your niceness might be a cage, not a virtue. Your intuition connects you to ancient feminine wisdom, but most women have learned to ignore it. We're dismissed as overthinking or too emotional when we sense something's wrong, taught to defer to logic and other certainty instead of our own knowing. The Russian tale of Vasilisa captures this perfectly. When her mother dies, she gives Vasilisa a small doll representing intuition, instructing her to feed it, keep it close, and consult it when needed. This doll guides Vasilisa through impossible tasks, telling her which demands to meet and which to refuse. Your intuition speaks in sensations, not arguments. The tightness in your chest when someone's lying, the sudden certainty about which job to take, the recurring dream with a message. To reclaim this gift, feed it. Listen when it speaks, act on its guidance even without explanation. Respect its messages, even when they contradict everyone else. This doesn't mean abandoning reason, but integrating deeper knowing that sees patterns logic misses. Fully developed, intuition becomes your internal compass, helping you recognize predatory people and guiding you toward what nourishes your soul. You exist in two realms, the structured world of responsibilities, and the wild world of instinct, your civilized self shows up for work, pays bills, and maintains relationships. Your wild self needs solitude to create, speaks uncomfortable truths, and follows rhythms that don't match the calendar. Women who reject their wild nature become rigid and depleted. Those who reject their civilized nature struggle to maintain relationships and structures. The healthy woman needs both, creating boundaries that protect creative time while fulfilling commitments, speaking truth while maintaining connections, following conventions when they serve her, and breaking them when they don't. This isn't about balance, which suggests equal time in each realm, but integration, where both aspects enrich each other. Estes calls this becoming a medial woman, someone who translates between the rational world and the mystical unconscious. The wild self operates on different rhythms. She needs solitude as much as connection, rest as much as productivity, creative play as much as responsible work. When you honor these needs instead of overriding them, you stop dragging yourself through life and start feeling alive in it. Modern culture treats endings like failures, but your wild nature knows better. The life/death/life cycle, where endings make way for new beginnings, is as natural as seasons changing. The Inuit tale of Skeleton Woman teaches this powerfully. A fisherman accidentally catches a skeleton in his net and flees in terror. She's dragged behind his kayak all the way home, and eventually he must face her. Through his tears and the beating of his heart, she's gradually restored to flesh. Their union becomes good and lasting, not despite her death aspect, but because of it. This pattern extends beyond romance to everything you create or care about. That stalled project might need to die so something better can be born. That outdated identity might be ready to release. Women connected to their wild nature don't panic when something appears to be dying. They recognize transformation. They honor what's ending while remaining open to what wants to emerge. This understanding brings tremendous resilience, the ability to move through loss without being destroyed by it, knowing that nothing valuable is truly lost, just changed in form. Your real pack, the ones who recognize and celebrate your true nature, may not be your family or childhood friends. Many women with strong wild natures spend their early years feeling like the ugly duckling, sensing they're fundamentally different. This exile isn't your fault. You're a swan born into a duck's nest, and your suffering comes not from being flawed, but from trying to be something you're not. The journey toward healing begins with recognizing this mismatch. Your wild nature isn't the problem. The environment that can't nurture it is. True belonging comes from finding those who see your differences as gifts, mentors who recognize your potential, friends who share your values, communities that celebrate your authentic self. You'll recognize your true kin by the ease you feel in their presence and the way they make room for all of who you are. Your body isn't just a vehicle for your brain. It's a sensing instrument connecting you to your wild nature. Modern culture has turned women's bodies into projects needing constant improvement. The wild woman knows better. Your body's purpose isn't to be decorative, but to be alive, to sense, feel, create, and connect. Its wisdom speaks through sensation, the gut feeling warning you away from danger, the physical ease drawing you toward what's right, the fatigue telling you to rest, the energy telling you to move. Reclaiming your wild nature means honoring what's instinctual, howling when needed, resting when exhausted, creating when inspired, speaking truth even when silence feels safer. Reject messages that your body is never good enough. Your body's natural changes through aging aren't flaws to correct, but transformations to honor. When you inhabit your physical self fully, rather than constantly critiquing it, you reclaim a major channel of wild knowing. Overriding your body's clear signals because you should push through severs you from instinct, which speaks through physical knowing before mental understanding. A woman connected to her wild nature changes everything she touches, raising children who trust their instincts, creating work that tells the truth, building authentic relationships. She brings vitality into stale structures and refuses to be diminished, giving others permission to do the same. Stop performing. Stop shrinking. Stop silencing the wild knowing that pulses through you. The world needs women who remember they have fangs, who trust their instincts, who howl their truth and wait for answering calls. Your wild nature isn't something to be tamed. It's something to be reclaimed, celebrated, and unleashed.